This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the New Media Production Studio. The lead stories today, SpaceX hits a milestone. A woman posing very naughty videos is charged. What moms will do sometimes amazes me. 5 billion Chrome incognito mode lawsuit is to proceed. And a Facebook sextortionist gets 75 years. I want to welcome you to episode 1513 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, March 15th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, if you're a brand new listener, a viewer of the show, I want to thank you very much for being here. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. You'll be able to subscribe to the show over there. Of course, you can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or our Discord server, which is in the show notes. Link to it's in the show notes. If you want to reach out to me, it's very, very simple. All you got to do is go ahead and drop me an email. geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Of course, we want you to check out our partner shows. Those are linked at geeknewscentral.com. You can follow me on Facebook. And of course, this show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and that's our good friends at GoDaddy. We want you to save money at GoDaddy. This is a way to really get started online, give yourself a future pandemic-proof business or service, or, you know, you just get online and use one of my promo codes. And whether it be a 30% off new product purchase promo code, $499.com, a dollar a month economy hosting for the first year, or a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year of the free domain, those are all available. Again, that dollar a month economy hosting for the first year and a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year of the free domain is the deal, saves you lots and lots of money. Free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. That's a 1 month free trial. Again, using my promo codes, supports this show, supports what we do. And we want to thank all of you that do support GoDaddy and have and will. It's a key to our existence. But I want to thank you all for your continued support of GoDaddy as a sponsor of this podcast. So back in the studio, and it's been a little bit interesting because I've had some internet issues, whereas the internet, you put in a domain name, you hit the browser, and it just sits there. And ran some speed tests today. The speed's down. It's like, you know, got to ticket in with the internet to the ISP, and the upload speed seems to be working just fine. It's just a little glitchy right now, and we've got construction going on next door. They're building a dispensary over there. So during the daytime, it's bang, boom, crash, boom. The plumbers are in now, and it sounds like they're driving through my walls. It's kind of crazy, but they're gone for the evening, but it makes my daytime stuff very difficult to do. But back in the studio, back to video, and I guess for a better word, a general same, you know, regular show format. And been doing a little experimentation. We've been getting the Insider program set up. A little bit behind on that, obviously. But I got a pile of work to do here in the studio. We are on the new media show. We're integrating Clubhouse and Twitter Spaces, the integration into that, so we can simulcast everywhere, be live, be able to do Clubhouse or Twitter Spaces, or maybe both at the same time. And the tech is always a little funny when you're dealing with a mobile phone. So that is in work. I've got some cables coming. Matter of fact, I saw they arrived this afternoon. We'll be dealing with that. And maybe Wednesday, knock on wood, it's next Saturday, we'll have our first real test of trying to integrate with all those platforms. But got to make sure the internet's good here. The upload is good, just the download speeds are down. Of course, we had the clock change. Oh, that always sucks. When are they going to get rid of that? And in addition to it, I had a TriCaster update today. So I'm, you know, they changed a few things, added a few things. I've noticed some different type of menu looks. So some tweaks here and there. So I'm definitely a little bit leery. I did that today because of an interview I'm doing tomorrow. And they're trying to do some sort of, it was called SRT, try to do a protocol to into another system in Europe. So knock on wood on that. If all fails, we'll be using Skype. But anyway, so yeah, lots going on here. And I've got a pile of stuff to ship. It's a lot to do. Lots to do here in the studio. But glad to be back in the studio. And other than that, let's go ahead and roll into the regular content tonight. I do want to thank you all for being here. But SpaceX had another launch yesterday. I missed it, but they put another 60 Starlink antennas in space. And I did have to laugh because one of the YouTube channels I'm following called Evan and Beck, they got their Starlink antenna part of the beta. And they were all, you know, completely excited, as I would be as well. And I would expect their next episode will have an unboxing. And, you know, I've seen a number of those already. But after Sunday's launch, SpaceX is on the milestone, well, the cusp of a historic reuse milestone. And the rocket that they launched on Sunday was Booster 1051. And it made its 9th flight. Now, Elon Musk's goal was always to do 10 flights and then without major refurbishment. And then 24-hour turnaround. Well, their turnaround is more like 27 days. So they're going to have to work really, really hard to get the turnaround time done. You know, just with as sophisticated as a vehicle as that is, the 24-hour turnaround, to me, until they get the engines so that they can be reutilized again without servicing, I don't see how they can get to a 24-hour turnaround. The booster body might be able to do that, but yet to be told. But, you know, I'm sure what they're doing here is taking a little extra time after each of these launches because, you know, they're on lift 9 for that rocket. So we don't know if they're using the same engines or not. You would probably think not. But at the same time, this is a pretty big milestone. So we'll see what happens here. Next maybe 30 days or so, we'll get to the 10th reuse of a booster. Now, they're only operating with 10 boosters right now. And if you think about that, all the launches they're doing, every 6, 7, 8, 9 days, they're doing a launch. That's pretty incredible if you think about the reutilization, recycling of these boosters, and they're achieving what they wanted to, and I would assume bringing costs way, way, way down. But anyway, another 60 Starlinks in orbit. Good for them. At some point, I am sure we're going to see something spectacular when one of these, when they do this to failure. And I'm sure some lift folks will start to become concerned and they'll want to be on new boosters. So only time will tell. A Pennsylvania woman has been charged using deep fakes to harass teenage cheerleaders. Now, specifically using deep fakes isn't against the law, but associated harassment is. So this woman allegedly created a series of deepfake videos and harassment and bullying campaign meant to intimidate teenage girls in competition with her daughter to get them kicked off a local cheerleading team. Hilton Township Police earlier this month charged Rafaela Spohn with 3 counts of cyber harassment of a child after she allegedly began harassing the teenagers last July, according to the Buck County District Attorney. The girls received voice and text messages saying you should kill yourself, followed by doctored videos taken from images on the social media profiles and altered them to make them appear nude, vaping, or drinking. The altered images include captions reading toxic traits, revenge, dating boys, smoking, and was drinking at the shore, smokes pot, and uses some very naughty language as a screen name. The images and videos were also sent to coaches for the team, seeming an effort to have the girls removed. Well, they worked backwards and found the phones that these were being posted from that had been bought by a reseller, tied it back to this lady's address, and they went after her. So we all want our children to succeed, right? You know, we want our children to succeed, but I cannot, for the life of me, imagine going so far. It's cheerleading. It's not National Honor Society. You know, come on. It just blows me away. That's probably a mom that always wanted to be a cheerleader, probably was never a cheerleader, and now she's got a little tech savvy, and what is she going to do? She's going to help her daughter in the way she knows how. And again, this is probably worse, makes it worse for the student, for this, you know, because it's, you know, that girl probably had to leave the cheerleading squad in shame. I just can't. Why do parents do these things? I don't understand. Is it a helicopter parent or what's the deal? You know? Moving on here, judges ruled $5 billion Google Chrome incognito mode lawsuit can go forward. The lawsuit contends that private browsing mode should block Google's web tracking. And Google attempted to get the lawsuit thrown out on the basis of Chrome's incognito explainer, a message that shows every time you start up incognito mode, explains that your activity might still be visible to websites you visit. That was not enough for the judge. The court concludes that Google did not notify users that Google engages in the alleged data collection while users in private browsing mode. And here's the crux of this lawsuit. And you think about this. This is really important. Google promises consumers that they can browse the web privately and stay in control of what information users share with Google. Prevent information from being shared with Google, Google recommends that its consumers need only launch a browser such as Google Chrome, Safari, Microsoft Edge, or Firefox in private browsing mode. Both statements are untrue. When users undertake either or both of the aforementioned steps, Google continues to track, collect, and identify their browsing data in real time in contravention of federal and state laws on wiretapping and in violation of consumers' rights to privacy. So, the only thing incognito mode doesn't do, it doesn't use your existing cookie store. And at the end of the session, dumps any cookie history and autofill data that was generated. That's it. It doesn't change websites work. So I use incognito mode a lot to check on changes we've made to a website, when we're having caching issues, this type of thing. Incognito mode has its purposes, but if you're trying to hide, you're using the wrong browser. So the $5 billion Google Chrome incognito lawsuit goes forward, and I think they have a very good chance of winning that lawsuit. Now, this next story is very, very interesting. A Facebook sextortionist was sentenced to 75 years in prison. This predator by the name of Buster Hernandez was arrested on 41 charges, including coercing children. Now, this guy is the worst of the worst. He was known by his online alias, Brian Kill. Hernandez spent years harassing and terrorizing hundreds of girls, some as young as 12 years old. He would extort them for nude pictures and videos, threatening to rape and kill them if they didn't comply with his demands. In all, he had eventually answered for 41 separate allegations, including charges related to distribution of child pornography. The world is a less ugly place with Hernandez behind bars, but the story of how the FBI was able to eventually track him down also raises some interesting ethical questions. Hernandez used a combination of Tor, and Tails, a privacy-focused operating system to hide his identity and location. Those measures stymied the FBI until the agency sent Hernandez a booby-trapped video that took advantage of a vulnerability in Tails' video player to relay his IP address. Last June, Motherboard found that Facebook had paid a cybersecurity firm to develop the exploit, and then it handed it over to the FBI through an intermediary. It's not clear if the agency knew the source of the exploit until after Motherboard published its report. For its part, Facebook claims that this was the only time in its history that it helped law enforcement hack one of its users. Facebook said, "The only acceptable outcome to us was Buster Hernandez facing accountability for his abuse of young girls," the company said at the time. "This was a unique case because he was using such sophisticated methods to hide his identity that we took extraordinary steps of working with security experts to help the FBI bring him to justice." Now, here's the twist. The problem is Tails is used by a lot of different people, including activists, journalists, and government officials. As of last year, no one involved in developing and using the exploit had disclosed the vulnerability that had been enabled it to the Tails development team. And there's no evidence the FBI is used against anyone else, but the door is open. So you can hide. And ultimately, there is going to be justice served. But it is interesting here that Facebook assisted building this tool, paid for the tool, and provided it to the FBI through a secondary intermediary. So what do you think about that? Now, we can all agree that this predator deserved his 75 years in prison. Because I can't imagine some young 12-year-old girl being harassed and terrorized and extort them for nude pictures and videos. That is just the absolute worst. Matter of fact, in my opinion, people that do that kind of thing should face the death penalty, not get 75 years in jail. But that's Todd. You wonder here, you know, and what happened there. It's one of those double-edged swords, right? In one instance, we got a bad guy put away. In another instance, you have a social media company helping the FBI to find out who someone was. So it is an interesting twist of fate. But love to hear your feedback on that one. Drop me an email. Let me know what you think. Geeknews@gmail.com. AT&T is adding 5G to its legacy unlimited data plans. You don't have to switch plans just to get full speed. So the carrier is adding 5G and 5G Plus, its nickname for millimeter wave, to some of its legacy unlimited plans, including the simply titled Unlimited, as well as more advanced tiers such as Unlimited and More Premium. Everyday users should see 5G beginning in March, while business customers on older plans will get 5G starting in April. Of course, you'll need a 5G-capable phone and be in an area that actually has 5G. So that's an announcement from AT&T. There's been a lot of work over the years on exoskeletons. And exoskeletons is really remarkable. It's helping people that have maybe paralysis or, spine issues. It goes on and sometimes it's work assist. It's used as a work assist tool. The researchers at Canada's University of Waterloo are showcasing work with processes and exoskeletons that utilize cameras and AI to deliver more natural human movement. The ExoNet project leverages video captured by a wearable camera run through deep learning AI in order to mimic how humans adapt and adjust movements based on their environment. And the project is an attempt to create more natural locomotion on the fly than is currently offered through systems with connected smartphone apps or other external controllers. So they're really focusing on the exoskeletons, which are being developed by a number of different companies to assist people with impaired mobility. The hope here is the ExoNet system could eventually replace the need for external control by the wearer in order to create a more natural movement. So a lot of work has to be done on this. These types of devices are very, very power hungry. Lots of stuff going on, but making major advancements as we move through. And at some point, for commercial work, I'm sure we'll be all strapping on exoskeletons to help us with lifting and all kinds of stuff like that. For those of us that have bad back that lift assist, I just can imagine would be pretty awesome. Satellites are detecting volcanoes heating up before they blow. Subtle temperature changes can indicate growing eruption risk. So they're starting to, again, use satellites to look at thermal radiation data from NASA's Terra and Aqua satellites. Combined, these two provide twice-daily passes with global coverage, and each measurement is integrated over a 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer pixel. There are 5 volcanoes that have both had significant eruptions since 2002. Those include one in Japan, one in New Zealand, one in Chile, one in Alaska, and one in Cape Verde. So they say that looking at these two different sources of data really shows what's going on with the magma as it gets closer to the surface, releasing gases, hydrothermal circulation. So be very, very cool if they could just look at some of these semi-active or even inactive volcanoes every day on a global basis to see what's going on and to be able to, you know, put out appropriate warnings and maybe save people's lives in the process. Because when these things blow, it's not good for anyone in the near vicinity. Comcast lost $914 million on its new streaming services last year. They're seemingly bottomless pockets and all but owning state and federal regulators. You know, this is pretty true for the last 4 years. Telecom continues to stumble with adoption in streaming video era. Verizon's attempt to pivot from an old phone company to a sexy new media brand fell flat on its face. AT&T's plan to spend $200 billion on Time Warner DirecTV mergers have dominated the television space, as a result of them in losing 8 million paid TV subscribers. So Comcast isn't having a great time of it, despite dumping the company's resources into its new Peacock streaming service. A new filing this week indicates Comcast lost $914 million on the venture just in the last year. Some of those losses were expected as Comcast shuffles resources around NBC Universal and pours money into new projects. But they did add 33 million signups at the year end, but hasn't provided metrics on how many of those are paying customers. So we know that the service is available in free and premium. And of course, it launched last April. But Comcast, like other mega companies, had hoped to elbow in on streaming and advertising by locking its NBC properties like Friends behind its Gatekeeper paywall. So, isn't Friends like out of production, non-existent anymore? But don't be too sad for Comcast. The company's steadily growing broadband monopoly means that as it loses TV revenue from folks cutting the cord, it can simply jack up prices on broadband. Right now, that's coming in the form of unnecessary broadband usage caps. But when your subscriber literally can't flee because there are no other options to flee, the sky's the limit. So article over on Tech Dirt. Starbucks is now offering access to blind and low vision customers. It's called the AIRA app. The AIRA app pairs customers with remote agents who can share product descriptions and other visual information. So the AIRA is a service that connects blind and low vision people to remotely located agents who share visual information through an app. The service is available in all company operating licensed Starbucks stores in the United States. When a customer enters Starbucks location, they can open the AIRA app, which is free to download. They will then be connected with someone who can see their surroundings through their phone's camera and provide needed descriptions such as what's in the pastry case or what a sign says. And it also can help people navigate COVID-19. This is awesome. It's more relevant during COVID-19. Kate Young, Starbucks Senior Vice President of Global Growth and Development, said of the AIRA service, "You can certainly be seeing me relevant all the time, but in times of COVID, when you have the extra layer of anxiety of wanting to stay a certain distance." Starbucks will also be rolling a new large print in Braille menus in all U.S. and Canada stores this summer. So this is an effort to boost accessibility, and this comes as major tech companies look to do the same. And so good for them. Interesting that you get a actual person that has no visual impairment to be able to access and see what's, you know, get a lowdown on what's going on. This next article, I don't know if it's a paid. It might be. Have you guys ever used Zebra to shop for car insurance? You see these articles and you see these stuff on, I see all kinds of commercials on save money by, you know, you pick from six or seven different insurance companies. Have any of you actually used one of those and saved money? Zebra's a new one that's out there that's available. If you have, and you've actually saved money on car insurance, let me know. And I'm always curious if these apps are actually tied to the actual insurance company that gets promoted. That I don't know, but they seem to say that you can find cheaper car insurance. I think a lot of people are pretty loyal to their car insurance. I use USAA here. It's probably $10 or $15 or maybe $20 more a month, more expensive, but I know that I'm going to get my money's worth if something tragic happens. So what do you guys use? Amazon, well, in their warehouses, they're doing mini games for workers. These mini games for workers are expanding across 20 states. These games started in a single warehouse back in 2017, but rolling out widely now. And they're really games to increase productivity. Employees who play one of the six games at a stowing and picking station can earn a digital currency that can be used for virtual goods. It sounds ultimately inconsequential, but serves as a good example of Amazon's preoccupation with productivity. That said, the company states that the games are not used as a performance measurement, quote unquote. Ha ha ha. You always wonder about that just a little bit, don't you? I noticed something here tonight. Let me try something. Oh, everything's changed. My menu systems are all, I can't see where it's at. I got to move it over here. Let me try this. My logo was running off the edge of the video. But anyway, this is going across 20 states. And if you're wearing a warehouse, the gamifying work. Yes, to make you more predictive for virtual goods. How about bonuses? How about hardcore cash? That's what people need. They don't need virtual currency. NASA Perseverance rover ditched a piece of itself on Mars on purpose. So they dropped their belly pan, and this was planned. The rover arrived on Mars wearing a belly pan, a protective panel for its sampling system. Part of the rover's job to involve packing samples of Mars rock and soils into small tubes for later retrieval by a future mission. So NASA tweeted a GIF on Saturday showing the pan in place on the rover, followed by the pan sitting on the ground. And of course, checking out the system is a cute little video. It's not even really too much to see, to be honest with you. It just shows in one frame, it shows it up. In the second frame, it shows it down. So, and they also have a video showing the rover that's on Earth and what it looks like real time there. So they had real time video from that. So, Perseverance continues to perform well and, looking forward to a future helicopter flight. If you have a Pixel phone, you're continuing to get, Google will continue to give you unlimited storage on Google Photos. So just be aware of that. If you've got a Google Pixel phone, that is still going to be available to you. And, you know, a few months ago, Google announced it will stop offering unlimited storage on its Google Photos services. But Pixel phone users will continue to get it. The rest of us have to pay. And that's what it's all about. I've used a VPN quite a little bit in the past. I don't use a free VPN. I pay for NordVPN. That's the one that I use primarily, especially on my Mac. So is a free VPN safe? That's the question asked by PC World. And they go through and talk about that a little bit and talks about who's running it and some of the free ones out there. If I was to run a free VPN, I would probably run Proton VPN. Proton Mail is a pretty good service as well. But Proton VPN would probably be the one I would go with if I was going to use one that's free. But anyway, link is up in the show notes. If you don't need one very often, the free option's probably the best way to go to really kind of get started and see the advantages of using one, especially when you start traveling again. Streaming has dominated the Oscar nominations in a stay-at-home year. Should not be surprised. The full list of Oscar nominees are now available. They were announced today. I won't go through the list, but link is up in the show notes. If this matters to you, definitely check the link out in the show notes at geeknewscentral.com. For those of you that are single, Tinder users will soon be able to access a background check database. So this is interesting. The owner of massive dating apps, Tinder and Match, has just announced a new partnership to help keep its users safe. Match Group, which owns Tinder, Match, OkCupid, and Hinge, and several other sites, has made an investment in Garbo, a nonprofit female-founded background check platform. As part of the deal, Garbo's platform will be able to people using Match Group apps starting with Tinder later this year. So Garbo is a survivor of gender. Garbo founder, Catherine Cosmides, a survivor of gender-based violence who wanted to make it easier to find information about people you may connect with online. Garbo's platform aggregates numerous data sources to provide details on the individual, including arrests, convictions, restraining orders, harassment, and other violent crimes. The organization site says that oftentimes you don't even need a last name to find some details on an individual. A first name and phone number will work. The organization is also working with racial and gender equality groups to make sure that inquiries in the justice system that disproportionately affect people of color are taken into account. So they're excluding drug possession charges from its platform. One of the reasons was given the prison of rate for African Americans on drug charges is almost six times that for white Caucasian people. So we'll see how this is going to work out. But maybe the ladies or even the guys can check out and make sure they aren't going to be dating a serial killer. The United States has charged a CEO of a company for selling encrypted devices to drug traffickers. Wow. The custom handsets included iPhones that were allegedly used to evade police surveillance. So the DOJ has announced an indictment against the heads and associates of a Canada-based company that allegedly supplied custom encrypted phones to international drug traffickers. In just the second case of its kind, CEO Jean Frantos Up and former distributor of Thomas Herden of Sky Global were charged with conspiracy to violate the Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act, RICO. Warrants have been issued for their arrest. The RICO law is typically used to combat organized crime. The indictment returned by federal grand jury on Friday alleges that Sky Global installed sophisticated encryption software on devices designed to help drug traffickers evade police surveillance. More than 70,000 of those devices are in use worldwide, according to the Department of Justice. So makes you go, doesn't it? I wonder what they paid for those bad boys. Twitter fixed a bug that suspended users for reposting the word Memphis. Some users even baiting others to say the M word to get them banned. So they had some bug. Anyone that used the word Memphis got a 12-hour nap from Twitter. Wow. How did that make it into the list? Memphis, Tennessee, shouldn't you be outraged? What M word would, what's another a word starting an M that would be inappropriate to get you banned off of Twitter? I didn't know certain words could get you banned, but if you said Memphis yesterday, it got you banned for 12 hours. Fox Tubi is the latest free streaming service to explore original shows. Tubi could make the most of viewers stuck at home. Roku isn't the only one adding original shows to a free service. Tubi will pay to create original content after relying primarily on existing shows like The Masked Singer will initially focus on movies. But it's reported to consider TV shows and may be willing to pay up to $4 million per episode. There was no mention of particular titles or release or windows. So this Tubi, T-U-B-I, is owned by Fox. So it's interesting. I'm not familiar with Tubi as all as an app. It might be worth loading it on your Roku and checking it out. General Motors-backed Cruise has acquired self-driving startup Voyage. It signifies a trend of consolidation in industry. This has been going on. The self-driving industry consolidating, leaders of a trillion-dollar market are fast emerging, said Voyager co-founder and CEO Oliver Cameron in a blog post. After being intimately involved with AV industry for the last 5 years, I can say with certainty that Cruise, with its advanced self-driving technology, unique automaker partnerships, and all-electric purpose vehicles with no human controls, is supposed to be the clear leader. So Voyage was not that well funded, so probably a tech acquisition there. So congratulations, Voyage, for cashing out. Elon Musk, you got to put it to this guy. Elon Musk has changed his job title to Techno King of Tesla. Watch out, Littlefinger, the automaker CFO is now master of coin. So they actually filed an SEC filing to announce these changes. They will still be CEO and CFO, but with nonsense job titles. Techno King of Tesla. So that's funny. And of course, using a name right out of the Game of Thrones, Master of Coin. So of course, a lot of people are complaining about Elon Musk and his tweeting, and one of his investors has actually sued him. So back to court he goes. HBO Max is getting an ad-supported tier in June. Details like price or exact launch are yet to be revealed. HBO Max will also expand about 60 global markets in 2021. So they got to figure out how to turn on more money on that bad boy. So make it available with advertising. Facebook is aiming to get more people vaccinated against COVID-19. One new tool helps people in the U.S. find a place and time to get vaccinated. They are so... It is so behind in my county. Actually, there's Branch, Hillsdale County in southern Michigan. They're only getting 1,200 vaccination vials or whatever it is. They can only do 1,200 vaccinations a week. And these two counties have a couple hundred thousand people. And they can only get 1,200 vaccines. And there's only like one place in my county that you can go get a vaccine shot. It's ridiculous. And they want everyone to be able to get a vaccine by May? Okay, rural America will not be vaccinated by May. It's not happening. But Facebook said it's releasing new tools to make it easier for people to get vaccinated. Of course, maybe they will, because a lot of people are saying, no, I'm not going to get the vaccination. I am not taking it. So that probably rules out 50%. Oh, man. All right. Apple has discontinued the HomePod. A few years ago, Apple launched a HomePod smart speaker. Don't be worried. If you love the HomePod, they're still going to have the HomePod mini. But the HomePod full size has been discontinued, as well as the iMac Pro. Apple AirPods 3 is not launching into quarter three, says Ming-Chi Kuo, who is a pretty astute leaker of information on Apple products. And but they may have hold a product event on March 23rd. We'll see. The date is not yet confirmed by Apple. So, but the AirPod 3s are not ready yet. But what else is? That's the question. Now, we know the COVID-19 $1.9 trillion spending spree the Democrats went on, which largely is not giving a lot of COVID relief. You're going to get your check, but everyone else is getting a check for non-COVID type stuff. Microsoft stands to receive nearly a quarter of COVID relief funds destined for U.S. cybersecurity defenders, sources told Reuters, angering some lawmakers who don't want to increase funding for a company whose software was recently at the heart of two big hacks. So Congress allocated the funds at issue in the COVID-19 relief bill signed on Thursday after two enormous cyber attacks leveraged weaknesses in Microsoft products to reach into computer networks at federal and local agencies. A draft spending plan by the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency allocates more than $150 million of the $650 million of funding for a secure cloud platform, and that's going to go to Microsoft. So, yeah. How does that help? It's just crazy how that money was spent. It really, really was. Federal workers qualify for, and I got a lot of friends of federal workers, you qualify for $22,000 if you've been teaching your kids at home. They're going to let you have a check for $22,000 for the inconvenience you suffered by being able to stay home, work, and take care of your kids. What about the rest of the country? There's a good article on Vice, and this almost was the story of the day. But listen to this. Listen to this headline. A hacker got all my texts for $16. A gaping flaw in SMS lets hackers take over phone numbers in minutes by simply paying a company to reroute text messages. I didn't expect it to be that quick. While I was on a Google Hangout call with a colleague, the hacker sent me screenshots of my Bumble and Postmates account, which he had broken into. Then he showed that he had received texts that were meant for me that he had intercepted. Later, he took over my WhatsApp account too and texted a friend pretending to be me. Looking down at my phone, there was no sign had been hacked. I still had reception. The phone said it was still connected to the T-Mobile network. Nothing was unusual there, but the hackers swiftly, stealthily, and largely effortlessly redecorated my text message to themselves, all for $16. I hadn't been swim swapped where hackers trick or bribe telecom employees to port a telephone number. Welcome to create an account if you want to mess with it. Literally anyone can sign up. Lucky225, the pseudonym hacker who carried out the attack, told Motherboard, describing how it easy is to gain access to the tools to seize numbers. Fortunately, Lucky2225 was taking over my number and breaking into the connected accounts with my permission to demonstrate the flaw. This also doesn't rely on SS7 exploitation, where more sophisticated attackers tap into the telephone industry's backbone to intercept messages. The guy said, I used a prepaid card to buy their $16 per month plan, and then after that was done, it let me steal numbers just by filling out an LOA with fake info. Lucky225 added, referring to a letter of authorization, a document saying that the signer has authority to switch telephone numbers. And that's what happens when you change 800 numbers over. The method hacks has been, not been previously reported, demonstrating in detail. But it's not hard to see the enormous threat to safety and security this kind of attack poses, that with everyone doing third-party or second-party validation through text. Sakari is a business text message service that allows businesses to send SMS reminders, alerts, confirmation, and marketing campaigns. And they use this service using a letter of authorization, a fake one, to be able to intercept those texts. So this is crazy. As of today, you don't know this happens, the CEO of OK Systems told Motherboard in a phone call, referring to how there's no way for the target to immediately know their text messages have been rerouted. You don't know these attacks happens. Motherboard created an account for verification purpose. But Sakari suspended the account after contact for comment. It's not clear how much this method of attack is being used in the wild, but it could be a big issue. Motherboard created Bumble, Postmates, and web app accounts in part because of their reliance on SMS as a either sign up or login method. So they said that the demonstrated attack underscores the importance of moving people off SMS 2FA and more broadly off of login with your phone number solutions. Neither Bumble nor Postmates respond to your request or comment. WhatsApp does have mitigations in place, such as sending user a notification when they're logged out of their device or when they're accessed by another. Not a lot of people want to talk about this. So this is scary stuff. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes for your perusal. So there was a poll done on how tech workers feel about China, AI, and big tech's tremendous power. Almost 80% of tech employees think the industry is too powerful. That's a big number. A whopping 78% of tech employees we surveyed agree that the tech industry is too powerful, with 11% disagreeing. The same goes for Facebook, Amazon, Alphabet, and Apple. Over 77% of respondents said these companies have too much power, and just over 8% disagreed. And these were tech workers. 44% does not want big tech to work with law enforcement. That's another amazing number. Following last summer's BLM protest, tech giants including IBM, Amazon, Microsoft announced they were cutting ties or suspending certain work with police departments, particularly in regards to selling facial recognition technology. Now over 40% of tech employees we surveyed agree that big tech should stop working with law enforcement altogether. A majority wants Section 230 reform, but it's complicated. Even people within the tech industry get high time to reform Section 230. Only 62% of respondents said they know what Section 230 is. That makes all of you much more educated than people in the tech industry. The rest said they either don't know or are neutral, but that 62%, nearly three quarters, 71% said they agree the law needs to be reformed. And here's the crazy part. Tech companies should work with China. The Trump administration adopted a hawkish stance towards China tech industry, placing a dozen companies on the country's trade blacklist and signing multiple executive orders aimed at banning Chinese social media apps, most notably TikTok. U.S. tech employees, by and large, say they think standoff should end, express an openness toward working more closely with Chinese tech firms. Do they not realize? 56% of respondents said they agree the U.S. restriction on Chinese technology has gone too far, while 28% they are neutral on it, and 60% agree the U.S. tech companies should work more closely with Chinese tech. They just don't understand. There are limits to their openness. Chinese tech, however, 46% they agree Chinese cell company Huawei should be banned from the United States. And 73% of tech employees want AI regulated. This is a good article. And I think that something that we all potentially are looking at. And it's an interesting move. Hey, something that's interesting, and I know many of you probably don't do this. How many of you watch QVC or something like that on your local television? Well, live streaming grows as a tool for retailers. And Amazon is going to be doing live stuff now. The only silver lining to the pandemic is that creators like myself are ready to connect shoppers in their homes. So there's people that are doing QVC-type shows via Amazon Live. Huh. Anybody doing this? I didn't know this existed. Selling products on Amazon Live? Sounds pretty cool. If you got time to watch a live stream of someone hawking products, that might be the next business to be in. All right, going to go to email here as I am close to the end of the season. 48 minutes. Show always goes longer when I'm doing live. Let's see here. Am I in the right email account? Yes, I am. I'll go over here. No new email. So, everyone, I want to thank you for being here. Liz, hi, how you doing? Thank you for joining the show. Everyone, thanks for being here. And, of course, I'll be back live again on Thursday. So if you've been used to watching me live, the live stream is again happening sometime after 7 p.m. generally. Tonight was a little bit of tech stuff that I was trying to get with, so I got started a little late. But I want to thank you all for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Send your comments to @geeknews. We want to thank all of you that have become insiders. Yes, I promise. The Insider Podcast is coming. I'm just trying to get myself, my head dug out from being underwater, as usual. I was freezing in the office today and I turned the heat up and it got too hot. Now I'm sitting here cooking. So, the heat's been off an hour, but still I turned it up too high and sitting here in the studio and getting animated. It definitely, rose my internal temperature. All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. We'll see you back here on Thursday for another live show. And those of you subscribed to the podcast, thanks for being here. And thank you for your indulgence when we were audio only and a little more lightly produced show. Until next time, we'll see everyone here. Take care. See you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Take care. Bye-bye.